Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, this year, 2021, is a good year. Notice I did not say I hope that it will be a good year, but it is a good year. But how can I say that? Right, this past week we had political protesters in Washington, D.C. who stormed the Capitol building. The first time the building has been stormed by a mob since the War of 1812.
Since
1954. Plus, there's a new strain of the coronavirus out there. And the rollout of the vaccine is not going as smoothly as planned. Right, good grief. That's a lot of bad news for just 10 days into the new year. And I know plenty of us were happy to see 2020 end. When we changed our calendars to 2021, we were looking forward to something new and better. Doesn't seem like we're getting that though, huh? So then, how can I say that this is a good year? Is that wishful thinking? Is it false hope? Is it naivete? No. It's scriptural. Let me explain. Take a look again at that first reading from Genesis that Rose read for us. We get those famous words that open the Bible. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Now, even though these are familiar words, there's something really important to notice here. And it's something that does not get carried over well into English. In Hebrew, the language the Old Testament was written in, the first word of that first line of Genesis begins with the letter Shiva instead of Kamatz. But what does that mean? It means two things. First, it means that there is no definite article in the sentence. There is no the, as in the beginning. It also means that beginning is in reference to the beginning of something, not just a generic beginning like once upon a time. Corey Driver, a deacon in the ELCA who has a PhD in Jewish religious cultures, suggests that the line should be better translated this way. When God began to create the heavens and the earth. And he explains the reason for it this way. Quote, Genesis 1:1 is not speaking about the absolute beginning of all things, but a beginning of certain things. Accordingly, medieval Jewish commentators Rashi and Ibn Ezra both vociferously argued that creation ex nihilo is nowhere to be found in Genesis. Unquote. Creation ex nihilo means out of nothing. So that means God did not create out of nothing. If we pay close attention to the text, even in English, we'll see that there is already something there. Notice that in verse 2, we hear that there was, one, a formless void, two, a deep that is covered by darkness, and three, waters over which the wind of God swept. Something's already there. Actually, a few somethings are already there. So we could say that in Genesis 1, God created with a clean slate, but the slate was still there. So does that mean someone else created things before God created here in Genesis? No, of course not. Right? God's the creator of everything. But what it means is that the story of the Bible, the story of salvation history, the story of faith, begins with God putting all of this messy stuff in order. God separates light and dark. God gathers the water into one place and lets dry land appear, and so on. God is making order out of this unformed mess. That's how the story begins, with order and purpose. And what does God say about it? Well, look at verse 4. God saw that the light was good. The light has barely existed, yet God saw that it was inherently good. Even without much history behind it, even before anything else has really happened, God called the light good. And over again in Genesis 1, we hear this same refrain about what God's created. It was good. This is God's world, and it's good. The same thing can be said about the scene of Jesus' baptism in the gospel reading today. Most of this passage is a repeat of what we heard in Advent with John the Baptist. But this time, we get a few extra verses about Jesus actually being baptized. But that moment lasts just those few verses. Right? Verse 9 says that Jesus came from Nazareth to be baptized by John in the Jordan. Verse 10 said he came out of the water and saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And verse 11 says the voice from heaven spoke to him. That's it. Three verses. It's a very short scene. And not much has happened in the Gospel of Mark so far. Right? We're only 11 verses into this book. And most of those 11 verses are about John the Baptist. Jesus hasn't said a single word yet. And aside from standing in line to be baptized, he hasn't really done anything either. Yet, what does God say about him? You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Or, to paraphrase Genesis 1, you are good. Right, this is why we baptize babies. God's love for them and for us happens immediately. We do not need to see what kind of person this child will grow into before they get baptized. We don't have to wait for them to make some confession of faith. We don't have to see how their story will play out first. No, we emphasize that God calls them good even before they've really done anything. Even before their story really gets started, God looks on them with love. Even when they have a messy diaper and they've spit up all over themselves, even when they're throwing a temper tantrum, even when they don't give their parents a moment's rest, God still says that they are good. However, like in Genesis, baptism is the beginning of this particular person's story. Just like how God brought life out of the formless void and the chaotic waters of the deep, so God gives new life to this pooping, spitting, temperamental person who has already been physically born. In baptism, God is taking this messy life and is bringing order and meaning and purpose to it. Just like in Genesis, and just like with the baptism of Jesus. Right? I mean, Jesus already existed before he was baptized. Mark doesn't give us any birth story, but we know Jesus was already alive. He's probably around 30 years old or so. And yet it is in his baptism where Jesus' story really gets started here. In baptism, God looked at Jesus, looked at us, looked at you. God looks at those babies and says, "You are good." But what about all of those things that are wrong in your life? What about how you've messed up? What about how we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed? By what we have done and by what we have left undone? Well, this is why confession and forgiveness is connected to baptism. Because that word of forgiveness reminds us of the promise in baptism. In Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. You are forgiven. God has given you a fresh start. God says that you are good. And this is also why we have confession and forgiveness at the start of our time of worship together. Even before anything else has really happened in the service, we hear that divine promise. You are good. And that brings me back to this year. Yes, many of us were looking forward to 2020 being over. But I'm sorry to say that the problems of the world don't magically disappear just because we change our calendars. It's true that we had a mess in Washington this past week. It's true that there's a new strain of the coronavirus. It's true that the vaccine rollout is slow. But it's also true that God can take the messy things in life and create something wonderful out of it. Even though we are only 10 days into this new year, God still says that this is good. Whether it's a formless void or disorder or a new person or a new year, God still brings new life. And yes, we may not see the fruits of that new life right away, but God is still at work. Genesis got the ball rolling in the whole biblical story. Jesus' baptism launched him into his public ministry. Your baptism started your new life with God. And this new year is the beginning of new things that God is doing in our world. As the psalmist said, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Or to paraphrase, "This is the year that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So I'll say it again. This year, 2021, is a good year. Because even with this chaotic mess, God is still creating new life. Or, as we are about to sing, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me not forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let heaven ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. In the name of the one who is baptized in the Jordan, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.